Okay, thank you very much for the introduction. Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here. So today my topic is alcohol and drug use during or before risky sexual behaviors among substance use disorder treatment seekers. So despite the HIV incidence in U.S. remain steady after 2006, with about 50,000 new infections occurring annually, there's no relationships to disclose first. I should read that out. And here is an overview of the topics I would like to cover today. Okay, now it's the background. So there's mounting evidence that drug users are increasingly affected by HIV. Substance abuse and sexual risk behaviors among vulnerable populations remain a significant public health issues as an important risk factors for HIV and AIDS. I estimate that 20.3 million adults, which translate to 8.5% of the substance users, have a substance use disorder in the past year in 2013. And in addition, approximately 9.4% of the illicit drug use in the past month were reported in 2013. The high-risk sexual behaviors, including risky sex under the influence of alcohol drinking or substance use, continue to account for the majority of the new HIV infections and at high HIV transmission risks. So their extensive studies have been focused on prevalence and associations for the sexual risk behaviors among the substance users, including alcohol, meth, opiates, heroin, and cocaine. Excuse me. However, there's limited studies has been focused on persons who use alcohol or drug use before or during risky sex, as we know as the sexually use of alcohol drugs, the SUAD. So our motivation of this study is to examine the particular types of drug use and sexual risk behavior patterns among those SUAD-seeking participants in U.S. And we also would like to gain a better understanding of the associations between drug use, condomless sex behaviors, and SUAD for treatment seekers to facilitate sexual health. So, comprehensive assessment of the HIV sexual risky behaviors among this particular drug populations is critical for conceptualizing and designing for future prospective research and the additional clinical interventions to reduce substance use and the HIV sexual risk behaviors. So accordingly, we conducted a planned secondary analysis to investigate the prevalence and relationships between drug use and sexual risk behaviors among clients with or without the SUAD. So we have two research aims. First one is to examine the associations of SUAD with the particular types of weekly drug use and the risky sex behaviors compared to those without this sexual use of alcohol drugs. And then we did a sub-analysis among the SUAD participants only to examine different types of condomless risky behaviors if they are independently associated with the particular weekly drug use. So the study reported here used data from CTN HIV rapid testing and counseling studies, known as the CTN 32, which is a randomized community trials conducted by Dr. Lisa Match. We used the cross-sectional study designs with the baseline data only. So the parent study aim was to evaluate the more effective HIV testing strategies to evaluate that if there is an increase of the receipt of the HIV test results and to decrease the HIV sexual risk behaviors. So the participating community treatment programs, including 12 geographically diverse substance use treatment programs, including outpatient, psychosocial, intensive outpatient, opioid treatment and residential programs. And participants including criteria were greater than 18 years old, reported negative or annual HIV status, had not been tested or received results for HIV testing within the last 12 months, and be able to provide informed consent. So this is just a geographic locations of the 12 participating sites of this study. So audio computer assistant self-interviews were used at baseline to obtain participants' self-reported information. We have three measurements for the substance use. So the problematic drug use was assessed using the 10-item drug abuse screening test, known as the DAS-10. We defined the problematic drug use as the score greater than 6. And for the injection drug use histories, we have categorized into three categories, including never injection drug use in the last 6 months, and not in the last 6 months. And we also asked the participant whether they have used or injected any of the following substance use in the last 6 months for the following drugs. For sexual risk behaviors, we're also assessed into from a 6 months time frame. We're including information for protections, which is condom or condomless, and sites of sex, vaginal or anal sex, primary or non-primary partners, condomless sex with HIV status of their partners, including HIV positive, negative, and anal, and if sex acts were performed within 2 hours of using drugs or alcohol, so which is the red one, so as defined as the sexually use of alcohol or drugs. With this information, we choose this 5 as the sexual risk behaviors in our study. And we also assessed for the condom use self-efficacy, attitudes towards condom use, and depressions for the participants. In the statistic analysis, first of all, we used a chi-square and ANOVA for the prevalence as a descriptive for the participants, and then for the first 2 series of the models, we focus on all the participants to stratify them by sexually used alcohol or drugs or no sexual use of alcohol or drugs. And then we assessed within the SUD participants to test if the drug use could predict the sexual risk behaviors. So specifically, in this data samples, it contains 1,281 participants. They're predominantly males and whites. There are about 58 are non-SUD, and the 42% are SUD participants. And the mean age was 42.5 years and 36.5 years for the non-SUD and SUD respectively. So SUD participants seems like younger than the non-SUDs. And this sample is predominantly poor, with an annual income less than $10,000 per year, and about 65% with high school but no college educations. And they're predominantly never have injection drug use before. So this figure shows you the prevalence of the substance use greater than once per week. As we could see, the SUED participants were twice as likely to have weekly use of tranquilizers, cocaine, painkillers, marijuana, and powder cocaine. And in addition, weekly use of pain medications, marijuana, or meth were more likely to report by the sexually used alcohol drugs participants when additionally adjusted for other risk behaviors. In terms of the sexual risk behaviors, we see there's a huge difference. They also showed a high prevalence for the for multiple condomless sex partners, and condomless sex, anal sex, and condomless sex with non-primary partners, and for the condomless sex acts with the anal HIV self-status partners. And in the longitudinal analysis, it shows that the SUD participants were about 10 times as likely to report those risky sex behaviors compared to the non-SUD participants. So continuous for the social demographics of this sample, we could see that the being black, Hispanic, older age, widowed, HIV tested before, injection drug use but not in the last 6 months, condom use self-efficacy scores and attitudes towards safer sex were less likely to be reporting the sexual use of alcohol drugs. Well, for greater income, jailed in the last 6 months, injecting drug use in the last 6 months, and the problematic drug use seems to be positively associated with the FUED. So to look more closely within this sample, we examined those participants with the secondary use of alcohol drugs only. There are about 538 participants with these types of condomless sex risk behaviors. And about 229 reported multiple condomless sex partners. About 214 reported the condomless anal sex acts. And about 267 reported condomless sex acts with non-prime partners. And 270 reported condomless sex acts with HIV anal sterile status partners. So, as a comparison, the gender difference seems at that the SUED females had a trend that more likely to involve in those risk behaviors, particularly for this condomless sex acts with HIV anal sterile status partners. So, though. If you remember from the previous slides, those non-significant women reported less likely to be involved in these SUEDs. However, when we examine the women with the SUEDs, we can see that the females is more risky in involving other risk behaviors. And Hispanics showed less likely to involve in condomless multiple sex partners, and for condomless sex acts with non-primary partners. And aging also showed as a protective factor for most risky sexual behaviors within the SUED, but not for the condomless anal sex. As also for the education, it shows as a protective factor for condomless anal sex acts. So the divorced and separated or single showed us more likely to involve in condomless multiple partners and condomless sex acts with non-primary partners. For the there's not much difference among marriage studies status for the SUED, but once people have SUED, we could see the divorce or separate have more likely to have these two types of sexual behaviors. And for the ever HIV tested, it shows that first, HIV screening could reduce HIV sexual risk behaviors. Second, attention and efforts should be made for those high risk substance user groups. In addition, the IDU in the last 6 months showed more likely to have condomless anal sex with the SUED. Continuously, we found that this several particular weekly drug use has been associated with those types of risk behaviors. For example, the cocaine associated with the three types, and the other drug use associated with the anal sex behaviors, and the power cocaine and marijuana was associated with the condom sex acts with HIV anal and the multiple partners, anal sex, and non-primary partners. So to sum up, in this study, we have found the high prevalence of the sexual use of alcohol drugs among participants in the substance use programs in U.S. And we have quantified the risk profiles for the SUED participants for their weekly drug use and HIV sexual risk behaviors. And we have also found the results varies within the SUED participants. And we have identified several drugs that they were particularly important in engaging condomless sex behaviors within the SUEDs. So there is a need for intensified HIV prevention that targeted for those sexually used alcohol drug patients in the substance use programs. So I would like to acknowledge my research advisor, Dr. Pfister, Dr. Mesh, and Dr. Gooden, and my colleagues, Rui, Weizhe, and Tiffany. Thank you very much.
About risk of sexual behavior in drug use, because that's the number one, about alcohol bias.
the sexual risk behaviors, we measure them in a 6-month time frame, and the participant will sit in front of the computer, and there is like, you know, assisted questions for them to help them to remember, like, you know, from a weekly frame and then like a month frame, and then reach the 6-month frame. So they will be asked for the their primary partners, non-primary partners first, and then if how many sex, particular sex, like vaginal anals, and then if you know their partner status, etc. So it's like, you know, stratified time questionnaire frames to ask. And I was wondering.
You mentioned about sex in the context of substance use, and I wonder if there are any questions about some of those contexts revealing that they can be contractual. In other words, you've got a very poor population for substance using. Some of that may be actually sex and drug.
Yes. Unfortunately, we don't have that information in this baseline data. Like, you know, sex, if there's a sex workers included. But we kind of like control for those social demographics in the analysis to identify this weekly drug use. Also, this we defined that this drug use measures. I think it's quite, you know, dependent measures for drug use, because like the people, only the people reporting the weekly drug use were defined as the outcomes. Those people without the weekly drug use. So, thank you.
And yes, ma'am.
So I apologize if I missed this. So you didn't stratify this by sex gender, right? This is men and women together.
Yeah, this is men and women together. We're trying to stratify it by, you know, there's MSM groups,
yeah.
But there are only 14 participants that reported as MSM. So.
Okay, so
right, right.
Okay.
So we kind of like, you know,
yeah,
because it is only like 10%
okay.
The sample. So no, actually 1%, because there are like 1,281 participants. So.